Good morning, everybody. It's 8:08. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. And I'm Mike Rayleigh, Rufus Edmonston, a former Secretary of State and Attorney General sitting across the way there. Say hello,
Commissioner. Oh, hello, everybody.
Paul McKenzie has been on the show a long, long time, 25 years. We were talking about that off the air.
That's right.
And before a retired extension agent in Vance and Warren County.
Pleasure to be here.
And Gary Stevenson is back. We're so glad that that you're back, Gary, and you know, had a good time. I assume you had a good time.
Yeah, well, it was iffy, so I thought maybe I'd give it a second try.
Get pumped up. But Gary is, of course, the chief meteorologist at Spectrum.
He told me it was fair to meddling.
Fair to meddling? Oh, kind of like the meddling, cotton crop in Nash County. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, all I got to say, Mike, is that was a fast 3 hours last time.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had fun with you guys.
Good. Looking
forward to today and in December when we're out at the farmer's market.
That's right. Now, Gary has brought something in. There has been great discussions, council meetings. There have been the world is talking about the vegetable. Is it a vegetable that Rufus doesn't care for?
It is a vegetable.
Kale. And
a greenery.
Gary brought some kale this morning, but it's his own potion, his own recipe and mixture and so forth. And we're going to do a little taste test, kind of like Peggy Mann used to do on Channel 11 about 50 years ago. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, I vowed to be open-minded. I thought about it. I heard it was coming up.
Do you remember when you first started hating it?
I certainly do. They put it in a salad, and I thought, who ruined this salad?
Because it was bitter.
It was awful.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe just got some bad kale.
Not fit to eat.
Well, I mean, I agree. Like, in a salad, it's tough. It is a tough vegetable. But you cook it down a little bit, and you put the right seasonings in it, it's a little bit more cooperative.
Well, and you can have good kale and bad kale. I mean, a lot of the quality of vegetables has to do when you harvest it and how you take care of it.
Yeah, you can have bad turnip salad or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of greens, collards. Yeah, well, you can really mess collards up.
Frost on the collards, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So, Paul, where do you stand on kale?
Oh, I'm in favor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pro kale.
Are you pro cooked kale or raw kale or both?
I'll confess I don't eat it a lot, but I'm willing to have it. However,
does your wife like it?
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. This is a deep discussion.
I'm actually more of a cabbage person, to be honest with you.
Raw or cooked?
Either way.
Fatback?
Not necessarily.
Sorry, that's the way I like it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. My wife likes it raw, however.
So. It's good at, coleslaw.
Yeah.
You know, some in a salad. I added some to a stir fry last night. It was quite delicious.
I'd rather talk about fried chicken than this stuff.
Now, I'm all on board on that one, too.
That's old Vernon Turner. Look at him.
I know. He's a popping.
He's a spectrum bouncer, isn't he?
Yeah. I said, I thought I was tall until he came on board.
Boy, yeah. Vernon Turner is a meteorologist.
We need to introduce him to Joe the Bouncer.
I don't know who's bigger. I haven't met Vernon in person, but how tall is he, Gary?
Vernon's about 6'7".
I don't know. You think Joe the Bouncer is that
tall?
He'd
be about 6'5".
Yeah.
He's
more John Wayne height, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this is a trick question. What sport do you think Vernon played? Now, remember, it's a trick question.
Lacrosse.
No, but you're kind of close.
Hockey.
Soccer.
Ah.
Soccer.
He was
a
goalie.
Oh, wow.
Not much got by him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, he would have been good probably in anything, I'll tell you. I'm sure that your bosses, if any of them heard you on the show last time, the next Monday asked you, what in the world were you thinking, Gary?
Actually, you know what? It amazed me the number of people that I work with and know who listen to the show.
Oh, well, God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I heard you on the show. And a couple of weeks ago, when you were mentioning I was going to be back on with the Kale,
yeah.
Bob Singleton, who works with me, he's been with the station as long as I have, came down and said, hey, when's that Kale tasting thing?
well, tell Bob to come on over. We'll let him in.
but he also talked about air fried kale, kale chips, and I'm like,
kale chips might be good, Rufus.
I love my little air fryer. That's a thought.
I thought if seeing how this goes, if you throw me out the window or not.
No. We don't have any windows.
Okay, but I actually want to try that because I think that would be a pretty tasty treat.
I bet it would.
Boy, I'm getting hungry. My mouth is watering.
Hey, how do we order that fried chicken to go with that kale?
Ooh, yes. That would make it good. So have you been gardening any, Gary?
Actually, last weekend I went in and my jalapeno plant is still doing its thing. So because of winter showing up last Monday and Tuesday, I dug it out of the ground and I'm putting it in our sunroom. Hopefully to harvest those last peppers and maybe even keep it around a little bit longer.
Wasn't that what you were having problems with, Rufus?
Not getting ripe. And I pulled up yesterday, Gary, and they were not quite ripe. I took them in and hoping they will do exactly what you did. Mine are Tabasco peppers. Mm-hmm. They just don't get ripe soon enough. And I know Paul said one time, put them out earlier, put them in full sun. I just can't get them to get ripe soon enough.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Gerald about that. You know Gerald?
Mm.
Our buddy Gerald.
Gerald Adams, who was the governor's gardener for many years and then moved over to Centennial Campus and handled the chancellor's grounds and the rest of it, too. So he's been quite busy. But he is a tomato guru.
Ah.
And he sells out of the farmer's market for like 4 months. He sells plants at under one of the farmer's sheds. And boy, is he popular.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
And he has a Rufus tomato, Gary.
Yeah.
He's kind of odd looking.
We did the taste test on the Rufus tomato last time.
Yeah, we did. It was.
It changes.
It turned from being the first year I grew it, it had a purple stripe in it. This year was a orangey. Solid color to it, and he says that's nothing unusual.
No, he said, and Paul, I'm sure knows this, that hybrid tomatoes evolve, and I don't know, maybe they evolve into animals at some point. But at any rate, they change colors, and maybe the taste changes.
So. Yeah, or environmental variation, you know, from season to season could be a factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, when you said transform into animals, I thought of that movie Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. Have you seen that?
Oh,
Rufus?
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh. You beautiful. Went to see it because it mentioned tomatoes?
I think it was Cherokee Purples.
I didn't know that existed. Well, at any rate. Paul, what have you been doing lately?
Just enjoying the good life, man. What What else can
travel
I say?
You've been camping?
Our last trip, we went up to D.C. Well, we stayed outside.
You camped out in D.C.?
Well, we camped in Fairfax County next to it. Yeah. You know, lovely little county campground and convenient to everything.
Nice.
I wanted to see the space shuttle.
So you went out to Dulles?
Yeah, at the Udvar-Hazy.
And you saw the Enola Gay, too.
Yeah, I was mostly interested in the space shuttle. It was fascinating.
Well,
yeah. And we saw, and Great Falls National Park.
Now, Gary's a pilot, so he knows all about that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when we went right after it opened in December 2003 on the anniversary of the 200th anniversary of flight. Mm-hmm. Is it 200? 100th anniversary of flight.
It's a satellite facility of the National Air and Space Museum.
Right.
Yeah. And Enterprise was the shuttle that they had there when we went, because the space shuttles were still operational and flying at that point. Mm-hmm. And then NASA made a deal with the Smithsonian that when the shuttles retired, they would change out Enterprise for Discovery.
It's incredible. I mean,
I know how large it is.
It's huge.
One thing.
And you can walk all the way around it. It's right there in front of you. I mean, you can't touch it, but it's spectacular.
Atlantis is in Florida. They moved Enterprise to the Intrepid Museum in New York. Endeavor is in California at the Science Museum out there. And what they're doing with Endeavor is they've got rockets, side boosters, and a fuel tank. They're going to mount it in a launch position.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you can, like, walk up a spiral stairwell.
Ooh.
And we went out there when they just gotten the shuttle, and you could, like, walk underneath it and stuff like that. And it's like you said, it's like you see it on TV, but then you're walking underneath it's just amazing.
Yeah. The other thing we discovered out there is Great Falls National Park. It's like 30 minutes outside of Washington, D.C., and it's this incredible gorge on the Potomac River with waterfalls and rocks, and it's spectacular. I mean,
so is it west or
it's in Fairfax County.
Yeah, so it's west.
Because
the Potomac, yeah.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
Goes east past.
You'd think you're out west somewhere.
Yeah, I used to visit that when I lived up there.
It's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, Great Falls.
Mm-hmm. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:19. Back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmonston and Paul McKenzie and Gary Stevenson, chief meteorologist at Spectrum News One. And
that's right, get that chief in there, Mike.
Chief, yeah.
That's what I hear. Shot a weatherman like Hap Hansen. Are you familiar with the legendary Hap Hansen?
I am. Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Hap was. I guess Hap Hansen and Gary Dornberg were my best friends of that old group.
Yeah, well, I've told you before, Gary, but one time I got to be friends with Hap, and I said, Hap, let me help you do the weather one night. We're down in this old basement down there somewhere downtown. It was the days when
it was on the first floor of the 410 South Salisbury Street building.
And you moved around blocks on a magnetic wall of weather. And Hap let me do the weather, and that's the most power I've ever had in my life.
Never mind. It was like 79 or 80.
Been Attorney General, Secretary of State.
Yeah.
I was moving those blocks around. He said, no, let's go a little bit east-west here.
Things kind of got out of hand, huh?
Yeah.
Well, thank God for technology. Now,
I'm willing to be a guest weatherman some night when you want to get fired.
Okay.
I don't know. Think they do things like that anymore, Rufus.
No, I don't think so.
I think there's probably liability involved.
Well, about only about 50 people were watching that TV station at that time anyway.
Well, it's funny how, you know, weather itself has changed in broadcasting because, you know, like you're saying, Rufus, you know, you had magnetic highs and lows and showers and stuff like that. And we go to the green screen.
Yeah.
Where you know, and now behind me is a 13-foot monitor.
Yeah.
So it's actually literally a TV screen behind me now. A
lot better.
Is the thing actually, I thought maybe you magnified it. Is it actually that big?
No, it is that big. It is that big. It is 13 feet. And when you touch it this time of the year, it will shock you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like with a green screen, you've got monitors on either side of the screen. So you're looking at those monitors at such an angle, it looks like you're looking at the green screen.
Well, the shocking must mean there's lightning coming.
Maybe so. I don't know. Why don't we ask Lewis, a friend from Rocky Mount. Lewis, how are you today, my friend?
Howdy. Y'all getting ready to chaw some kale, huh?
It's like we're going to do that in the 10 o'clock hour if folks want to stick around.
Well, it's like when they ask Ernest T. Bass to repeat something. He says, I don't chew my cabbage twice.
Kale.
Anyway, kale you have to chew more than twice.
I'll tell you.
I just wanted to say, unfortunately, historic downtown Wilmington is in mourning today because of the loss of one of its crown jewels, architecturally speaking. The Greystone Mansion, or the Greystone Inn, went up in flames yesterday.
Oh, no, I stayed there. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's horrible. I didn't like that.
You know, if you talk about downtown Wilmington's historic district, which is one of the largest and most architecturally significant in the National Register, you'd have to include the Greystone in the top five, along with the Bellamy Mansion, the DeRosset House, you know, the Dudley Mansion, First Presbyterian Church, all of which have beautiful gardens and landscaping. But, Greystone went up in flames, and they're calling it a total loss. No one was hurt. That's the miracle of it. But, it's gone, and I got to tell you, I'm hurting in my heart because I lived in the historic district for 17 years and restored a house myself on Market Street and got a certificate of appreciation from the Historic Wilmington Foundation, and that they're harder to get than a Duke diploma.
It certainly is. My wife was in charge of historic preservation for a while for Department of Cultural Affairs, and I know about that. It is difficult to get that sort of thing.
We only have about 30 seconds, Lewis.
It involves blood, sweat, and tears to get those houses refurbished, but goodbye to the Greystone Mansion, and we'll miss it. And Wilmington, it's going to take a while to get over this for downtown.
But yeah, I was just reading the article. That's horrible.
Make mention. Well, I'll let you guys get going. Take care.
All right, Lewis. Say hello to everybody and rock him out for me.
Everybody naturally says hi.
All right. All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We'll talk Phil Campbell, too. We're back on WPTF, and Gary Stevenson is with us, chief meteorologist with Spectrum News One, pilot, Paul McKenzie, who is a retired extension agent, and your father was a hot air balloon pilot, and Rufus has ridden in one. And I'm trying to find the picture of you and Dick Stork standing beside that thing. You said it was at the state fair?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
I'd rather forget that episode.
I got a zillion photos in there, so it'll take me a while, but I have that photo somewhere on this phone.
I'll give Paul's dad a world of credit. Like I was telling you guys off air, I'm a control freak, so I've been up in a tethered balloon, but not Rufus. That's the reason why I've not been in an untethered balloon.
And you've never been in a weather balloon, I assume.
No. And Paul was telling us another story about being drug across the field one time. So, yeah, I don't think my days of flying in an untethered balloon.
If you were going to fly in a balloon, my dad would be the one to fly with because he was the opposite of a daredevil. Hmm. He was super cautious.
Yeah.
Well, there's that saying, there are old pilots and bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots.
That's right. That's right.
Do they still have the hot air balloon reunion up in around Statesville each year now?
I think they do. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico one time, and I've never seen as many hot air balloons. And it was quite something. I had a friend one time who was in World War II, and he described to me being a glider pilot. You talk about nothing except a glider. And he said, I'm one of the few people that lived. It was horrifying to hear him talk about what it was. I mean,
they were quiet, but if
it comes down, and if you're lucky, you live.
Yeah.
No control, no nothing.
Well, that's kind of the space shuttle, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a glider when it comes down from orbit, but, you know, Rufus, you're talking about during World War II, you know, they transported a lot of troops on D-Day via those gliders.
Absolutely.
And when they cut them loose, it was like, okay, let's find a place to land. And if you didn't find a place to land that was big enough, bad things could happen. So,
oh, good gracious.
Oh, there we go.
Good gracious alive.
Oh, now, Rufus, how long ago was that, Rufus?
Oh, what, 40 years ago?
I don't know.
Probably 40.
Yeah. Isn't how amazing, about that?
Amazing what the internet can do.
Yeah, you're in it. You have it.
Looks like a hat on a tie.
Yeah, a three-piece suit.
Oh, good gracious.
I didn't have the coat on, but how about that?
Well, that was pre-flight, because I tell you, after flight, I didn't have anything on.
It was harried. All right. Well, better talk about some gardening, since this is a gardening show. Rufus, why don't you start us off? What is blooming in your garden?
Oh, because my goodness. The camellias are just incredible.
Aren't they looking? I mean, they are this year, the best I've seen in a long time.
And what I'm noticing right now, Paul, is sort of a transition from the cicyclas, the fall bloomers, easing in a little bit now to the japonicas. And it's just one week it's a little bit more, easing out of cicyqua into the spring blooming.
Well, let's get Phil Campbell on here too.
Yeah, she knows about. I'm so anxious to see her Christmas camellia.
Christmas Carol.
Christmas
Is that right,
Carol.
Phil? Hey, Phil.
Good morning.
Well,
how are you?
Christmas Carol. Rufus was just talking about Christmas. Is it a Christmas Carol camellia?
Oh, it is, but it's a hybrid. It's a Southern Living hybrid, and it's between a japonica and a cicinqua. And we have seen a couple of blooms on it, so it's really beautiful. It's red and white, so nice. It's perfect just in time for Christmas.
Phil, say hello to Gary and to Paul.
Yeah, I know. I was going to do that. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed y'all.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet Gary.
Well, you can come on up if you want to.
I'd love to be with Paul again. Hey, y'all just come on out here on December the 6th. How about that?
Yeah.
Get to see the Christmas Carol camellia and get to see lots of trees and everything.
Yeah, what are the status of those Christmas trees, Phil?
The status of the Christmas trees, they will be cut tomorrow and Monday. We will pick them up they'll be cut on Monday and Tuesday. We'll pick them up Wednesday morning and bring them back down here. We'll be setting them up on Thursday. That will be the first round.
And that makes Campbell Road quite different from a lot of places, because they are cut, you know, just before they're brought down.
Right. They're not cut and stored in large bins. So then we'll get another batch the next Monday. So we'll have two batches right before Thanksgiving. It's going to be a short time between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, so it'll be a good time to go ahead and get them if you want to get one early.
Right. Okay.
But I wanted to talk about the special thing we're doing, because I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, you should be.
We've already collected about 600 pounds of food. And what we're doing, all we did to start this was, Gail was talking to me, and we decided to get a flat of pansies for eight non-perishable items. And we've already taken, some over to the food, over to Interfaith. And they're so appreciative.
I'm sure.
So we've got another batch to take. We've taken two already. got another batch ready to take, and I'm sure today is going to be a big day for that.
A flat of pansies for eight, like canned items, non-perishable or canned items.
Yep, eight items, and then you get 50% off, which this is the big deal. You get 50% off on a flat of perennials.
Mm, nice.
For eight non-perishable items. And so we appreciate what our customers have done. I mean, they have really come through with this, and we're being able to take food.
And you have a food truck today, too.
Oh, yeah, we do have the food truck today. Yep, it's already here. It'll be cranking up about 11:30. Tasty. It has about anything you want to eat.
I know where Rufus is eating today.
Yeah, I do, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I just set him a place at the table.
What kind of perennials do you have, Phil?
Well, we've still got a lot of perennials. I'm walking that way right now. I know I saw some beautiful. We don't generally do landscapes, but we went out and did one for one of our friends, Wiley Nickel, yesterday, and he wanted an 80-foot border planted, and good land. We put the blue fescue in. We did some of the shrubs with berries on them and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it was just gorgeous.
Hey, Phil, hold on a second.
Sure.
And we'll be right back and talk to you more about what's happening at Campbell Road Nursery and more about plants here on the Weekend Gardener on WPTF. It's 8:41. PTF, Mike Raley here, Rufus Edmonston, Paul McKenzie, Gary Stevenson, Chief Meteorologist at Spectrum News One, and Phil Campbell, one of the nicest people I've ever known.
I'm standing out. I'm standing right out in the middle of the perennial bed.
All right.
And I did not realize, I haven't been out here in a few days because I've been trying to get everything else done, and I didn't realize how good things look. We've got some beautiful erysimum that's out here in full bloom, and it smells so good. We've got salvia. We've got foxglove, Rufus.
My favorite.
Digitalis.
It's a new one this year. Yep, it's called Dottie, and it's one of the best performers I've ever seen. So we've got lamb's ear. We've got, oh, my goodness, we've got dianthus, firewitch blooming. Just tons of, beautiful different kinds of salvia. Like I said, we've got coreopsis. We've got some phlox.
Oh, yeah, phlox.
Good old phlox.
Yep,
we got that.
And this is a fantastic time of year to plant this stuff.
It's a perfect time.
Anytime.
Anytime
during the fall.
And we just got a new batch of Lismachia ready. So a lot of people like that for ground cover or either to put in their container gardens. So we've got that, and we got hellebores, Rufus.
Okay.
Got tons of hellebores, and they're blooming. They're starting to bloom.
Are these the hybrid hellebores?
They are.
Okay, so they are sterile.
Right. So they don't. I mean, a lot of people like it that they run all over your yard and come up in different places. But if you don't want that, then these are great. So, we just got lots of things to choose from. And like I was saying, we get half price if you bring eight items, non-perishable items. So it's a really good deal.
That is, and that's a generous move by you and your
incredible
nursery. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to figure some way to help, and I just didn't know what to do. And Gail was like, well, why don't we have, some type of plant special?
Gail is the person who was the landscaper, the person who has the eye
designer,
for...
Designer, right.
Landscape designer, yeah.
Right, and she, Gail Ingram, and she's here. She was here on Monday, Wednesday. Right now, she's got a load of work to do, so she's here on Mondays. but she does a great job, and she helps me out with a lot of ideas, so I really appreciate that. And it's been so successful with the food drive, so it's great. So anything we can do to help other people right now or any time is just it's one of my favorite things to do. So help the community.
How are your poinsettias looking?
Well, the poinsettias looked good. I'll mention my brother. He had quadruple bypass this past week.
Oh my!
Kind of came up unexpected.
Okay?
Yeah, he's doing good.
Great.
He may go home today or Monday. But we were up at his place last Saturday, and everything's looking good.
Yeah, his place is at King, North Carolina, near
right.
Mount Airy.
Mitchell's Nursery.
Well, right. When you also each year Phil is very generous and takes poinsettias to the Capitol.
Yeah.
If you haven't visited the Capitol at Christmas time, you should do that because it's just glorious.
They do a great job of decorating.
They do.
And you and I will be going over there very soon to take your poinsettias.
Right. So we will get poinsettias, cyclamen, Christmas cactus, everything will be coming in on Tuesday of this week.
Wow. Nice. Boy, time is rushing by, isn't it?
Isn't it? I know. this week I've been, can we just not stop time for about a week or two and let everybody catch up?
Yeah, just slow down a little bit because I love this time of year, but it goes so quickly.
Oh, I love this time of year.
Well hang on a second. Now, now Rufus thought it was the 22nd when we came in, so we just gave him a week back.
Is that, right, Rufus? I didn't know that.
I keep looking here. Gary was right. I've gotten a week.
Yeah. Well, you know that Cliff Joyner's book wouldn't... The book would not lie.
It's not going to lead you astray.
No. Well, let me read you what Chris Joyner said.
Oh, Cliff.
Cliff, okay. I mean. Wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
How about that, Phil?
Dick Herbert used to say
that. I tell David, I haven't lived 79 years just to not know anything, son.
Yeah, that's right. He still thinks you don't know anything?
Sometimes. You know how kids can be sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something that's beautiful right now is the foliage on the maple trees. Mm. Oh, my goodness, right here.
I know it really turned out to be, Gary, a good time, I guess, getting that rain helped and getting those cool nights or what?
Well, we went through a dry spell, too.
We sure did.
And that dry spell will help trigger those colors as well. One of the most, when we lived in Asheville, one of the most beautiful falls we ever saw was the fall of 93, and that was preceded by a drought that lasted pretty much all summer.
Mm.
And it really does pull those colors out when you see that dry weather.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think it dries things up, but it really makes the colors the colors in these maples could not be more vibrant.
You're talking about that real beautiful yellow one right there, huh?
Well, the ones right here inside the fence where, as you drive in, the Japanese maples, oh my goodness.
Yeah, the Japanese maples, there's some that are blooming a little later than others, and they're always spectacular.
So yeah, that's beautiful.
And speaking of that, Phil, people that are so anxious to get their yard raked up, I use every leave I've got. I've never put anything to the curbside, never.
Right.
Leaves are your best friends.
Ann Clapp used to say, "Leave your leaves."
Yeah. That's it.
That's why they're called leaves.
Mulch them. Mulch them right into the ground.
You don't want to overdo it in the lawn, but you can mulch some of those leaves, if it's a light cover, into the lawn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And
a lot of beneficial insects are in there, too.
Food there. I mean, you know.
It provides a shelter for some of those insects.
For
instance, food. But and you can use that in your compost pile.
Sure.
There are a lot of reasons not to pull them out to the curb.
Exactly.
Because they're going to stay there for a long time usually.
And,
get in your way, get in your car's way.
For sure.
Block the rain as it's trying to run down
the
street.
Block the rain, absolutely.
That's true. Yeah.
All of that.
Sure. Get all the storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Phil, what are some other things blooming out there that really look
pretty?
Well,
there's a lot of perennials still blooming for sure right now. And, we've got a huge container garden right here at the office, and it still, even though we've had some frost, it still has celosia blooming in it. Mm. And but I mean, we have tons of pansies, we have tons of violas, we have tons of snaps, we've got a few dianthus left. And the berries on some of these trees are just gorgeous. Let me see what this is. These are the, this is the Jim Dandy. These are, golly, the winter berries, we've got the male and female. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
And then we've got some of the lower growing, sasanquas that are in full bloom. And
That Christmas carol is a lower grow.
It doesn't get huge.
Yeah.
And then
we
still got blooms on the crossvine. I can't believe that.
Well, the crossvine was very, very happy this year, as were
yes,
many vines.
Yes, it was. It was. And it's just, I mean, there's just time. Like I said, the hellebores, there they are. And then we've got the jasmine. The yellow jasmine's blooming right now. It's beautiful out here.
You mean the Carolina jasmine?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's in full bloom.
How about that?
One that blooms in the fall and one that blooms in the, the swamp jasmine. Yeah, there's one that blooms in the fall and one that blooms in the spring, and we've got them together in a pot.
Oh, well, that's smart.
And then, you know, my favorite thing is foliage color. We've got so many different types of foliage color shrubs. Oh, I mean, the shrubs are just beautiful right now. There's some variegated, there's some golden color, there's we've got the black dragon. That's one of my favorite shrubs, and we brought some of these in just to kind of decorate for Christmas around our big tent.
We don't have very long, but can you tell us what we need to be doing to our pansies right now?
Pansies need to be deadheaded. They need to be deadheaded and cleaned up. It has been a perfect time for pansies. It hasn't been too cold. There's not much rain. So if you don't have good pansies right now, you need to check and find out why.
Now you don't deadhead pansies the same way you do other flowers, do you?
No, you have to go all the way down to the plant, to the bottom of the plant. You go down to the bottom of the stem and pick it off, and then or pinch it off with your fingernail or clipper and get those things cleaned up so they can bloom back out again.
And don't ever water them.
No, pansies really, once they get established, they don't need much water at all.
Yeah, they're very drought tolerant.
If you look at the way professionals plant those in big beds, they're always mounded.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they need good drainage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
What about those persimmons that I saw the other day, Phil?
Oh, yeah, the Japanese persimmons. You know, I never did get those. I need to go get them today because they've had a little bit of frost on them now, so I'm gonna try one of those. So,
you gonna eat it whole, or are you gonna make something out of it?
I'll probably just take a big bite out of it.
Okay.
Everybody said it's good, so
about the size of a softball.
Yeah, they were.
Right, at your place?
All right, at her place.
At her place. Oh, okay.
Well, while you're at it, pull a seed, split it in half, because that supposedly will tell you what the winter will be like.
Not know that.
Yeah, there's if there's a spoon shape in the persimmon seed, it means a lot of snow. I can't remember what means no snow.
Oh, okay. So, I'll check it out because I love snow.
Oh, God. You're one of those people. Okay.
Now, there's Gary's scientific notion.
That's right.
Like the woolly worm in woolly worm contest over in Bannerell.
Yeah.
That's
there's no
right.
seed spitting. There's no seed spitting. So.
Well, nature teaches us many things if we just pay attention.
That's
Amen.
Right.
All right.
Well,
y'all have a great day. I'm going to see if I can get some water going on the perennials out here.
All right, Miss Phil. Right. We'll see
All
you
right.
soon.
Yep. Take care.
Save me a foxglove.
I will. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Well, I want to ask Gary, have you ever heard it's going to rain if you see the leaves turn up?
I've heard that before, yes.
I have.
The leaves of what?
The leaves on any tree.
Any tree.
Okay. They turn up. I've found that to be a pretty good predictor. Hmm.
I have this app on my phone called My Radar, which tells me when it's going to rain. If it shows up on the radar, hopefully I've got it in the forecast when that's about to happen. But well, I mean, it's like Phil said. I mean, when I worked in Western North Carolina in Asheville for 14 years, and a lot of Native American population, and they knew how to watch the weather, watch the environment, and it really can tell you in advance what's going to happen.
All right, we've zipped through an hour. More coming up on the WPTF Weekend Gardener.